It's the Rule and Ryan Show. It's Monday, October 12th of 2020. If you're listening in real time, this is the show after the show that we post for you guys. And whenever you're going to listen to it, it's me, it's Ryan Chase, and we have a special guest, Craig Gass, our friend, the comedian that comes by your studio every now and then, loves Houston, visits all the time. Hi, Craig.
How are you guys?
Hey, we're great. Craig, I mean, you know, it's like we've always enjoyed when you come to town and you're hilarious. But we wanted to talk to you this morning because I did not know that you're roommates with Eddie Van Halen. And I got to tell you, first off, like, it was soul crushing when I heard that news. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, this was, I'm a rocker at heart, and I grew up listening to Van Halen records. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it knocked the wind out of me. Like, I was like, oh my God, no. Mm-hmm.
Same here. Yeah. It's, I mean, I was a huge fan before I met the guy. And then when I met him, it just led to this series of crazy circumstances where I ended up inside his life and going, what the hell am I doing? You're like, it was because he
and
was,
I want to know the whole crazy
yeah thing. We gotta find tell out how did comedian Craig Gass become buddies with Eddie Van Halen
and roommates?
Well, I was backstage at a rock concert at the Universal Amphitheater in 2002. Mm-hmm. And this guy who works in the music industry, who's a big supporter of my comedy career, mm-hmm. he's doing this incredible solid for me and introducing me to all these rock stars backstage at this show in LA and all these music industry people. This guy does this and this guy does that. I'm like, no way. And I'm such a fan and I'm such a savant about remembering every name that I read in liner notes and like
yeah.
and finding out what they do for a living that I know the names of these people that he's introducing me to. And I'm super excited and I'm telling them stuff about themselves. They're like, wow, how'd you know that? And I'm like creeping people out.
It's one of those like, oh God, you're one of those fans.
All right, wait. Pop quiz, Craig. Who is Ted Templeman?
Ted Templeman is Van Halen's producer. Well, I guess he's a legendary producer that produced a lot of big albums, but I knew him as being in the liner notes of the Van Halen albums. And I didn't know this guy though. My friend says, all right, dude, I'm going to introduce you to this guy that's standing over there in the corner. This guy lives with one of the biggest rock stars on the planet, but don't tell him I told you that. Come on. And he walks me over and says, hey, buddy, I don't know if you're a comedy fan. I don't know if you watch this show or this show, but this is my comedian friend, Craig Gass. And the guy turns around and goes, dude, I'm like your biggest fan. And
no said, way.
No way.
Get out of here. And he starts listing all these shows he saw me do in Hollywood. He said, when you were in LA doing that show with Robert Schimmel and who was it? Robert Schimmel and Richard Jenny. He's like, I paid $50 to a scalper to come see your show. When you did your headlining show at the Roxy, I waited in line for an hour to get into your show. And he's got all these stories. And I'm like, wow, this is insane. And so we exchanged phone numbers and I didn't know anybody in LA. So I called him a couple days later to go bowling. And he calls me back and says, yeah, man, he goes, 9 o'clock sounds good. Quick question. Do you mind if I bring my friend Ed with me? Because I've been telling him about you and he's a fan of yours and he wants to know if he can come along. When he found out that you're here in LA, he wanted to meet you. And I said, yeah, I don't care. And he said, okay, cool.
Does this not feel surreal to you, Craig, that you feel like the small guy in the room with all these rock stars and the rock stars are like, oh my God, you're amazing. You're like, I am, you know, it's in that kind of situation.
Rula, it is the one thing that I can talk about with like rock stars, because the moment I start talking to them about what I love about them, I'm out the conversation. So yeah. I find that when I'm around people who I really respect and admire, I always like to ask them, who's your favorite comedian? And whoever they say, I've got a story about that comedian. And I'll go, oh man, I worked with that guy once. And here's a funny story. Mm-hmm. And then as long as we keep talking about comedy, I'll always feel comfortable, you know, and the moment
we talk about story, at this point in the story, though, he just says, this guy Ed's coming along. Do you have any idea it's Eddie Van Halen?
No, he says, I'm bringing, do you mind if I bring this guy Ed with me? And I said, yes, that's fine. And he said, okay. Cause he's got a kid, his kid's 12. And I said, dude, it's bowling. And the guy showed up with Eddie Van Halen to the bowling alley, which was
crazy. Yeah,
there were so many surreal moments in that night. One that you know, Eddie was smoking in the bowling alley. Two, that
that's not allowed back then.
He left in like the fifth or sixth frame, mm-hmm. and said, he goes, "Hey," and he's always smoking. He was like, "I'm gonna go play foosball," and I said, "Dude, it's the fifth frame." And he goes,
"I'm gonna go play foosball."
He goes, "I'm gonna go play foosball." I go, "You can't leave in the fifth frame. You don't just
go play foosball alone. You gotta just find some kid in the arcade. Says, hey, you want to play foosball with me? I'm Eddie Van Halen."
He was gonna play with his kid. His kid wanted to play foosball. His kid Wolfie was with him. So, anyways, this surreal exchange happens, and I start to piece the whole thing together. So this guy that was with Eddie, his name's Maddie. Maddie is Eddie Van Halen's assistant, mm-hmm. and Maddie lives on the property in a guest house. And Maddie runs the 5150 Studios, which is the recording studio where they recorded all the Van Halen albums. Mm-hmm. And that's on the property as well. So, and he's such a fan of the show that I was on at the time. I was on the Howard Stern show at the time, mm-hmm. that he gets up every morning at 5 a.m. to go up to the studio and listen to the show for all 5 hours.
Wow.
And so when I started showing up on the show, he starts reporting back to Ed, "Oh my God, there's this guy. His name's Craig Gass, and he does this crazy Morgan Freeman impression." Or a week later, "Oh my God, the same guy does a Gene Simmons impression."
And your Gene Simmons has got to be
hear,
like,
let's let the raw feeders hear that.
Gene Simmons, right? is spot on.
Ask me any question, I'll answer it as Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Okay, how do you expect the pandemic is going to affect sales of your end of the road tour?
Well, you know, the great thing is there's a lot of great things at Kiss Online right now.
That's right. If you go to kissonline.com, we're selling masks, we're selling hand sanitizers, and we're broadcasting live from a real wet market. Go to kissonline.com and click on my codpiece.
Yeah.
So. Damn, that is spot on. I remember you doing that on Stern before too. So, and for people that don't know, Gene Simmons actually produced the Van Halen Brothers demo.
I was just about to say that Gene actually discovered them. And mm-hmm. and then when they got he actually has this incredible story that when they actually got a big deal with Warner Brothers, that Gene ripped up his contract that he signed them to and said, "Go be rock stars and go live your life." So he at the bowling alley, Eddie is telling me all these stories about me that he's heard. One of which is, and this is insane, I said on the air once that I had been broke my whole life. And mm-hmm. all I've ever wanted when I started making money, mm-hmm. all I've ever wanted to own was an illegal cable box. That's all I've ever wanted, was one of those illegal cable boxes.
Now it's a fire stick. It's like unbroken.
Yeah, this is your porn not scrambled.
Ryan knows exactly where I'm going with it. So
we got the same brain. So,
we got the same brain. So, and at the bowling alley, Eddie, who again is smoking, he's not supposed to be smoking, he goes, "Dude, I heard you were broke your whole life." "Me too. And I heard, is it true that all you ever wanted was a legal cable box?" And I said, "Yeah, that's true." And he said, "Dude, that's crazy. Because," and he looked both ways and he went, "I got a legal cable box too." And I was like, "Really?" And Eddie Van Halen says, "Yeah." He goes, "The thing is, I'm fucking rich, but don't want to pay for cable." I was like,
"That's hilarious."
Really?
And this is 2002, right? Craig, this is 2002.
This is 2002. And so,
is this 2 years after he divorced Valerie, right? I know they were together like 20 years. I don't know what their exact year was.
Yeah, at that time, him and Valerie are separated. And over the course of the next year and a half, I start going over to the house, specifically to the recording studio, to hang out with Maddie and with Ed. And we
wait, is this around the time they got back with Sammy Hagar and did an album?
Not yet. No.
Okay. Sorry.
This is starting to happen. And
okay.
So right now, Van Halen is just in limbo. Nothing's happening to Van Halen. And I start to become friends with both of them, more with Maddie, but Eddie was always around. And then in early 2004, in January 2004, I'm 8 months into a relationship that is a really unhealthy relationship. And
You're talking about with another person. I thought your relationship is this relationship is unhealthy. You're talking about privately with somebody who's not good for you.
Okay, a romantic relationship with a girl that is just it's a bad relationship. It's an unhealthy relationship, and then it flames out one night at a party in Anaheim where I left to go to the bathroom for 2 minutes, and when I came back, she was making out with another guy when I got
back. Oh man, that sucks.
I'm in a lot of pain, and I called Maddie and I said, "You're not gonna believe what just happened." And I'm telling him, and Maddie goes, Hold on. Ed wants to talk to you. And Ed gets on the phone and he goes, "Dude, I told you she was a whore." And I said, and he said, "Dude, and you're living with her. What are you living with her for?" And I said, "She's the only person I know in LA besides you guys." And he said, "Dude, back up your shit and move in with me." And I said, "Is that okay?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "You can stay in the recording studio as long as you want. The only thing is, don't tell anybody, but the band's getting back together." So,
oh wow,
so you're recording in your bedroom,
so it's going to be noisy at night. And I went, "So the only thing I have to worry about is the fact that Van Halen is going to be playing in the next room." And he goes, "I know you're working on your TV show." And because I was working on a TV show at the time called Las Vegas on NBC with Alec Baldwin and James Caan. And
I remember that
Duhamel,
show.
Josh Duhamel.
And the handsome guy.
Yeah, I love that show, dude. Yeah. That was a great show. Yeah, that's where I met Fergie.
Yeah, I remember Josh asked me to record an outgoing voice message on his phone. And I said, "Oh, this is for your cell phone?" He goes, "No, this is my bitch line."
My bitch line. Oh, my
God. That I give to the bitches. Yeah, so, yeah.
And what was the recording voice he wanted you to use? A celebrity voice or just?
Yeah, he wanted me to do Al Pacino in his outgoing voicemail. So,
Hold on. You have to tell me what you did.
Honestly don't remember because it's always off the cuff.
Give us a recreation, like best to your memory.
I had gotten really good at doing Al Pacino because I was just doing a character on the radio of Al Pacino just had twins. And yes. I thought it would be funny on the show that I was working on, like, "Hey, would it be great if we could talk to one of the babies and the baby sounds just like Al Pacino?" And we would do this, we would do a radio bit where Howard would say, "So you're Al Pacino's baby. What do you like to do for fun?"
What do I like to do for fun? I like to pee. You like to pee? I love to pee. My mother, Beverly D'Angelo, whenever she changes my diapers, I give her a quick squirt right in the face. Hoo-wah! And she likes it because she's a whore.
The whole thing is terrible. It was really terrible. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
my
it was
God.
Yeah, it was
Craig?
So, so man, I crazy. End up moving into Eddie Van Halen's, into the recording studio.
So you're living in 5150.
At 5150 from January till about April or May of 2004.
Oh my God. And when you say recording studio, Craig, can we just give a visual for the Raw Feeders? Like, I'm thinking a recording studio that's not comfortable to actually sleep in. Is it like compartments of rooms or is it just one giant room with like a bathroom and like a little small fridge?
What's in there? It's a giant room with a big couch, a couple smaller couches, and a bathroom that... The bathroom is in between the recordings, in between the living room and the recording studio is a bathroom. Uh-huh. And to take a shower, I had to go down the hill to the guest house and I would take showers in the guest house. There's actually four structures on the property. There's mm-hmm. the original house that Eddie and Valerie first moved into, and that whole house was storage. And then mm-hmm. there's wow. the recording studio next door, which looks like a big apartment building looking structure. And he bought the property next door, demolished the house that was there, regraded the earth and built a mansion and a guest house. So Ed was in the mansion.
Oh, wow.
Maddie was in the guest house. And they had golf carts all over the property. And the golf carts, by the way, all had license plates that were thrown on stage by fans.
Oh, cool. That,
like Van Halen rules or Van Halen.
Craig, did you ever read Sammy Hagar's book where he talks about the golf carts and some of the crazy stuff? Well, in Sammy's book, he talks about, he basically said 5150 was a hellhole. You know, he said like it, when he originally got into the band, he's like, oh my God, this is back when Alex was still drinking. Like, you know, he said that it was just nothing but filled with bottles and cigarettes and just, it was a mess.
Wow.
Was it cleaned up by the time? This is like back in 1987 when Sammy Hagar first joined the band, but he had all these anecdotes about how like Eddie would get all fucked up and get on his golf course. And one time he drove onto Fred Durst's property and he was like threatening him and didn't even know he was on the right property.
I know all that story happened when I was living there.
Oh,
I
think tell it, please. Well,
this is what I heard. On my end, what I heard was this, that Limp Bizkit, their guitarist had just quit the band. Mm-hmm. And they were
West Borland.
West Borland. Yeah. And they're looking for a new guitarist. And then somehow they connected with Eddie. Mm-hmm. At a party or something, and an invitation was put out of like, hey, if you want to get together and jam, and Ed said, yeah, let's do it. And Ed came over with a bunch of his gear. Limp Bizkit was renting a house to work on this new album, and they were searching for the new guitarist. And so Ed goes over there with his gear, and it's Limp Bizkit living in a house with, and there's a bunch of peripheral people that are hanging out. And they jam late into the night. And I think Eddie had a few drinks and said, all right, I'm going to go. And I said, all right, do you want us to help you with the gear? And he said, no, it's cool. I'll get it later. And for the next few weeks, phone calls were made to Ed saying, hey, you know, let us know when you want to get the gear. Let us know when you want to get the gear. And Ed never returned the call. And one morning, Ed woke up at 7 a.m., wanting his gear and called up, where the fuck is my gear? I want it right now. And then 8 o'clock, he calls again. 9 o'clock, he calls again. And then he
got on the golf cart.
He grabbed, this is according to his assistant. Mm-hmm. He grabbed an Uzi.
Oh my God.
And drove to the house and started pounding on the door. Where the fuck is my gear? It's noon. Oh, somebody crazy thing. And here's the thing. A friend of mine who works with Limp Bizkit told me a story once. He goes, did you live in Eddie Van Halen's house? I go, yeah. He goes, dude, the craziest thing happened when I worked for Limp Bizkit. And I go, dude, I know about. And then we both commiserated over our stories. And his version is that somebody looked out the window and said, holy shit, Eddie Van Halen's here with a gun. Everybody hide. Eddie is walking around the outside, the perimeter of the house, pounding on windows and waving his Uzi. Where the fuck is my...
Craig, when this was happening, was he loaded or was he stone cold sober and just so angry that he went down there with a gun?
I wasn't there. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I just know that he had a, he would sometimes go from being super loose and chill about stuff to being very protective about stuff. Like sometimes he would have moments where he would get tense, you know? So
I have a question about knowing what you know from being so close to living with Eddie Van Halen. When you hear things or you read things that somebody says, like, okay, like Ryan says, Sammy Hagar has a book. Was Sammy Hagar there to witness this? I don't know. Like when you read stuff and you've seen it or you've been there, mm-hmm. do you kind of eye roll like that didn't even happen or this guy's making it up or this person's over embellishing? Have you seen any of that about Eddie Van Halen since his passing?
No, I haven't heard anything that, in fact, a friend of mine just posted a thing, a musician friend of mine named Ryan Cook, who plays in some backing bands for Ace Frehley and for Gene Simmons, wrote an incredible story that sounds exactly like Ed, which is that he grew up the biggest Van Halen fan on the planet. And he was at a gas station in Sherman Oaks in 2001, he said. Mm-hmm. And he's pumping gas, not wearing a shirt. And a Mercedes pulled up and Eddie Van Halen gets out. And he's like, oh, my God. And he said, Eddie, my name's Ryan. I love you. And Ed said, oh, thanks, buddy. And then Ed walked over and shook his hand. Mm-hmm. And Ryan says, I'm a singer. And then he just threw it out there and went, are you guys looking for a singer right now? And Ed said, hi, you know, we're looking at whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Ryan says, and Ed says, do you have a tape?
No.
No way.
And the kid's like, no, I don't want it. Does he have
and
one?
Ryan goes, not on me, but I literally live 3 blocks from here and I can get you the tape. And Ed said, all right, I'll come with you.
Oh my God.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
Eddie comes over to his house and
oh my God.
And walks into a stranger's house. As soon as they walk in, Ed sees a giant picture of Van Halen over the couch that was taken by a photographer. And Ed says, hey, how'd you get one of these? This is photographer so-and-so. And Ryan goes, yeah, he's a friend of mine. Now Ryan is making sure to mention, I know this person, so that Ed doesn't feel weird.
These are some weird fanatic, like misery. Yeah. Like, hey, and thanks for coming in. You're never leaving.
Yeah. And Ryan goes to dig out his tape from his bedroom. When he comes back out, Eddie Van Halen is playing his guitar in the living room.
Oh, my God.
And they end up talking for 10 minutes. And Ed takes the tape and says, all right, cool, thanks, and then walks out. And he said he, as soon as Ed walked out, he called a friend of his and started bawling.
Oh, my God.
But then he never called him again, or that's where his story ends?
He said Ed called a week later and said, hey, we're not really sure what we're doing right now. We're looking at blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And Ryan took that as, oh, he's given me the, you know, hey.
Brush off.
But he did, and I guess he also, before he left the house, or before he left the apartment, he wrote his phone number on the cover of a magazine and then walked out. And which is
pretty wow. Cool.
By Craig, the way, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You were going to say, by the way, what?
I was going to say, I had this surreal experience of when I was living at the house of, I took Ed's assistant, Maddie, to a Metallica concert, and I met a girl at the show that I really hit it off with, and we started texting each other during the show and after the concert, and she called me and said, it was like midnight, she had dropped off her friends, and she said, do you want to hang out? And I said, I would love to hang out. And she said, where are you? And I said, oh, I'm in the Hollywood Hills. And she said, do you want me to come over? And I was like, I would love for, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
You know what? You're like, but this is not my house.
And I said, oh, I don't know. Well, let me find out if that's okay. And she went, oh, you have a girlfriend. I said, no. I'm single. I'm not married. I don't have a girlfriend. I live in a really unique situation. So I found Ed and I said, hey, Ed, is it cool to, and this is uncensored, right?
Yeah.
So.
Raffied. So get ready. There's my bad word.
I go, hey, I go, Ed, I just met this girl. Is it okay to bring her over here if I keep her at the studio? And he said, dude, get some pussy. And I go, okay, cool. So I said, I called her up and I said, okay, I need you to meet me at the bottom of Coldwater Canyon. You're going to have to leave your car at, there's a Ralph's supermarket right there at Coldwater and Ventura. So she leaves her car there. She gets in my car.
This point, Craig, I think I'm getting murdered. If you're the guy that's telling me leave the car at the grocery store, I'm going to get murdered. This is not worth it. I'm out.
Well, she's peppering me with questions. Like, why do you need permission to have somebody come to your house? And I said, I'm just in a really unique situation. And I don't know how to tell her I live with Eddie Van Halen. So I start driving back up and I go through the back gate. There's 2 gates to get into the property. And the recording studio was out by the back gate. And so I pull through the back gate, park, I let her out. I open the door to the studio. I let her walk in first. And I still haven't told her what's going on. Mm-hmm. She walks in the studio and goes, wow, is your friend like the biggest Van Halen fan on the planet or what?
You're like, no, it's actually Van Halen.
And then she starts discovering things on the wall, like, what the fuck? How do you get a plaque like this? And I finally just said, do you hear the music in the other room? That's Van Halen playing. This is Eddie Van Halen's house, and he's letting me stay here until I get back on my feet. And she went, oh, okay. And to answer every guy's question at that moment, The answer is 2 minutes. It took 2 minutes from that point. So,
yeah.
But
2 minutes for you to serve her a drink. That's what you mean.
Exactly.
2 minutes for her to take her clothes off. Did you ever see her again, or was it just that one time?
Yeah, she just texted me recently to say, "Oh my God, I can't believe what happened." And it's funny because I don't know if I should say this, but you know how you save people's phone numbers in your phone to remember? Oh, that's
and so I have don't her answer phone it when they call.
Yeah. Her phone is still, what is this, like 16 years later. Mm-hmm. It's her name - Eddie Van Halen's couch.
Well, that's crazy.
Craig,
so you had not talked to her in all those years until Eddie Van Halen's news came out that he passed, and then she contacted you about that.
Every once in a while, we would connect and say hello.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, she got married and had kids. And so what were we going
to
say, Ryan?
No, I wanted to ask you. Okay. So, you know, they're playing with Sammy at this time and you've become friends with Eddie. I mean, it's no secret that him and David Lee Roth did not get along. Did he ever talk any shit about him or tell you any stories about working with Roth?
Yes.
That you can anything, share?
Anything you can share?
No.
Anything you can share?
No. And it is so good. It is
Can you talk around a few things?
No, it's
don't break the trust. Even the man's deceased. Just
yeah, man. I mean, it's.
Is it fair to say that they did not like each other?
Or was it one?
Yeah, I guess you know they would play pranks on him. I guess early on and stuff. And I mean, it's crazy that. When I was living there in 2004, they were working on a new album that was, it was a best of album that had two new tracks. Mm-hmm. Those two new tracks were a reunion of Sammy and the band. And every time Sammy and Michael came to the house, I wasn't allowed to be around. I had to go down to the guest house every time they came around. And it was explained to me that it was because they didn't get along and they didn't want anybody around with that tension in the room.
Well, let me reset for anybody who's listening to this podcast and they don't really, they're just fans of the Rule and Ryan show or they're fans of, or interested in Van Halen stuff, but they don't know Van Halen deep like you guys do. So Van Halen started with David Lee Roth as the lead singer. Then they broke up. Then they didn't play for a while. They immediately replaced him with Sammy Hagar.
They replaced him with Sammy.
And then they stopped playing altogether. I don't know. That's where I get foggy with the Van Halen.
Oh, there was a fallout with Sammy Hagar. Yep. And then they got back together, like you said, 2004 to do this project together.
Mm-hmm. But in 2004, isn't this where now there's a tension because Wolfgang has replaced?
No.
Not yet.
Okay. That's
no, but I do have to tell you a story. I think Wolfie was 13 at the time. And Ed and Maddie both told me a story that, and this was according to them, that Ed was trying to teach Michael a bass line for this new track. And according to Ed, Michael wasn't getting the bass. He wasn't understanding how to play it. Mm-hmm. Wolfie was in the room. He was 13. And he said, no, it's like this. And he just played it. And he was 13. And everyone was like,
okay.
He's that good.
Apple doesn't fall farther than tree. I do remember hearing Eddie Van Halen rave about his son's talents, even at 15, how he would say this kid. I mean, he was blown away by the talent he saw in his own child, not as a dad, as a person of music, as the guitar god. He was blown away. He thought Wolfie could smoke him in playing guitar.
Well, there's this amazing thing that happened that like when I was living there, Wolfie was just starting to learn how to play. And Ed told me that, Wolfie had come to him a couple years earlier and said, I want to learn how to play guitar. And Eddie goes, okay, I'll try to find somebody to teach you. And he's like, I want to learn from you. And he's like, oh, okay. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. He's the greatest guitar player that ever lived. And when his kid says, I want to learn how to play guitar, his first thought is I better hire a professional, you know?
Did you ever watch Ed play? I mean, did you ever just like be in the room and watch him play and your jaw drop? Or
well, there was one night when we were It was late at night. I had just gotten home, and we were talking about heartbreak. We would commiserate a lot about heartbreak. He had just gotten out of a relationship with a girl that he was dating for a few months, and so we were just sitting around talking about pain and love and he had a guitar in his hand, and he was sitting at the control board, and he said, "Hey, hang on, I just got to record this real quick." And he played a quick guitar solo for this track, and I watched him play, and I said, "Man, I have to tell you that I've been to a bunch of Van Halen concerts in my life, and my favorite part of every Van Halen concert was in the middle of your guitar solo, when you would play this crazy organ sounding thing out of your guitar called Cathedral." And he said, Oh,
I love that.
Yeah. And he said, "Sit down." And I said, no, that wasn't that honest to God, that wasn't a thing, like trying to get you to play. And he goes, Craig, sit down, sit down. And I said, "All right." And I sat down, and he played me a 10-minute version of Cathedral. And and I just sat there watching it.
That's on the Diver Down album.
Do you just ever like pinch yourself? Like, you can't record it. You have to soak it in with every memory cell you have. Mm-hmm. So that you just know those days. How long did you live in Eddie Van Halen's studio?
Like 4 or 5 months.
Wow. Yeah.
5 months. So yeah. What actually, here's a question. What got you to move out? Because, you know, once you're in there, you're like, "I never want to leave." But did you ever feel like, "Okay, I don't want to impose"? Or how was the transition out?
I didn't want to stay there forever. So I wanted to get out. So I moved out, and, you know, I would leave for little stretches to go on the road. And so I just felt like it was time to go. So, I'm leaving out a big part of the story, which is that a year almost to the day that I moved out, the ex texted me and said, "I am in love with Maddie."
Oh, no.
And I texted her back, giving her the benefit of the doubt. I said, "Maddie who?"
Oh, no.
And she said, "You know, he feels terrible. And but the fact of the matter is that Maddie loves you and he really values your friendship." And I was like, and then I had to go back and realize, oh, my God, all that time when I was living at the house, Maddie was hooking up with her.
Oh, my God.
So are they married now, or they broke up?
Almost. Oh, they were together for 5 years. Yeah, they were together for 5 years.
Oh, wow. Dude, yeah, so that's such a betrayal.
Did Eddie know?
You know, I called him a few years ago, and he was really happy to hear from me. But he also mentioned that he was sitting on the toilet taking a dump. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to go." And I jumped off the phone with him. But
because that's a question, Craig, like when you move out from any situation with like an apartment or a house, or you have a roommate situation, a lot of times they go kind of like their own paths, and maybe like, "Oh, yeah, we live together. And I haven't talked to my roommate in years." Is it like, "Oh, Eddie Van Halen was my roommate," or kind of, you know, housemate? And did y'all talk frequently right after the move out? Or was it kind of like, "Thanks, man, for the 5 months. Check it later."
Yeah, I mean, we would check in from time to time, and he would leave me nice messages. When I heard about what happened with the girl, then I just kind of was like, I was stunned, and I stopped talking to both of them.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to kind of stop and go, "Wait a minute, Ed didn't do it. He did it, not Ed." So, but I was also intimidated by his fame, as I am with most people. There's a lot of people in my phone who are famous, who, when I see their name on my phone, I just go, "I don't want to bother that guy." And so I never call them. But
were you as shocked as everybody else? I mean, were you as shocked as everybody else? Did you know that Ed was sick? Or
yeah. And recently I've been reaching out to him just to say hello, because I had heard that he was sick this year. And over the summer, I tried calling him a few times. But I just found out recently, on the day that he passed, from people that were close to him, that Ed wasn't talking. So all of his communication with people was via text. So, Yeah, but it's he was actually, you know, what's crazy is when I was living with him, he was fighting cancer and he was doing it with alternative medicines and winning. He was kicking ass and he was winning. He had a cancer guy that would come over once a week and give him a drip. And then recently he was doing stem cell therapy in Germany. And apparently his doctor said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm doing stem cell therapy." And he said, "Well, keep doing it because you're clear." And then in March, when everything shut down, he couldn't go to Germany. Oh, and he and the cancer spread. And then when everything opened up, he was getting ready to go. And then he had a health thing happen that knocked him down. And then a second health thing. And then that was it.
So in a way, this damn
like a casualty of COVID almost.
Yeah, this pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's really crazy.
Oh, that's
so Eddie Van Halen lost his life to the official cancer.
It re-ripped to his brain. God
bless. I'm about somebody once in there or whatever. The stories that promote different people. Did I hail out of that difference? We not the same. My exposure to Van Halen, my 65 kids, my old, whatever. And I brought the album. So I remember Van Halen and the David Lee Roth antics through the eyes of a child is like, I didn't see the sexual parts of Van Halen. To me, I was like, oh my God, this funny guy, this hat and his long blonde hair.
Yeah.
And I know my brother like and we just listened to it. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we were talking about Eddie Van Halen's passing, I mean, talk about Ryan and Eric almost falling out of their chairs. And
I was devastated.
By the way, Eric
am.
Really wanted to be here, but he had to take the day off with his kids because it's Indigenous Peoples Day / Columbus Day. Yep. That's why he's not on this raw feed, but he really wanted to be. I was saying to the guys, you know, there's all these different things that come out when a celebrity dies in the radio world. We get all this like audio bits that get sent to you. And it's highlights from whatever that company chooses to give you. And that company that I checked the first one of that morning gave me three clips. The first one is the Michael Jackson Beat It riff.
Oh God.
That Eddie Van Halen plays.
Yeah. For free. He played for free, by the way. Yeah. He did it as a favor to Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
Which I did not know that. That's when I learned that that's Eddie Van Halen in that song.
Yeah.
And then the other two, one was Jump by Van Halen, which I know starts with synthesizer, but it gets into it. And then the third one was what?
Eruption. You got to play Eruption to showcase his guitar playing. You know?
Yeah. So they almost fell out of their chairs and I was like, oh yeah, the Beat It riff.
We're like, are you out of your effing mind, woman?
I don't think I knew that. As a child,
no way.
I never knew that. I was last week years old.
Oh my God. I mean, I grew up on this stuff, but Craig, I mean, what you're doing is a great tribute to him because it's like, I learned so many things from you today and you humanized him in a way that I never thought of. And he just seemed like he was just a hell of a nice guy.
Sure.
And really laid back. Didn't really kick around what his title was or who he was. He wasn't like, F you, I'm rich, bitch. It wasn't like that at all, it seems. He's very down to earth. I'll blow your apartment from the gas station, sure.
He was a very humble guy that I'm guessing is from being broke when he was a kid. He also was part Dutch and I want to say part Indonesian, and he would get he had problems with racism growing up, and was a self-made guy. I know that whenever things were broken, anything that needed to be fixed around the house, he'd like to fix it himself, and he would always say it keeps you honest. But more than anything, it was this incredibly surreal experience. He was a hermit. He didn't like going out because he didn't like the insane attention that he got whenever he went out. And so he was a total hermit, but let me into his life. I mean, I remember one day, the first time I met his cancer guy who came over to give him a drip, I was taking a nap in the studio, the door opened and this guy walked in and I said, "Hey," and he's looking at me like, and I said, "Oh, I'm Craig. I'm a comedian friend of Maddie's." And Ed walked in behind him and said, "Dude, what the fuck? You're not my friend?" And I said, "Oh, well, I'd only been there for like a week or two at that point." I said, "I didn't want to
say I'm your friend."
Yeah. And Ed said, "Dude, you're living in my fucking house." And I said, "Yeah, true. Yeah." And he said, and then Ed goes, "I love you." And I said, "I love you too, man." You know? And I was like, I remember at that moment thinking, this is crazy.
Did you see a lot of his family, Craig, when you were living there? Did you see like Alex Van Halen Alex never come came by over? Or Valerie?
Yes,
come
Alex
by?
Did. Alex was there was one day when I came home, opened up the door, and there was a guy crashed out on my couch. And I said, "Oh, sorry. I said, "Hey, sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up." And he's like, "No, that's fine." And then I said, "Oh my god, that's Alex Van Halen." And and Alex Van Halen started coming over pretty regularly to start working on business aspect of, I got the feeling that Al ran a lot of the business end of Van Halen because he was making, setting up meetings with lighting designers. I remember one time getting on the computer and it was open to this lighting design that was being pitched to them. And he was getting samples of merch that he was making decisions on. And when he started coming over, he is a storyteller. And so he would like tell incredible stories and we'd hang out. I love a good story. I love hearing a good story. I love telling a good story. And whenever Al would come over, we'd hang out and just laugh and tell stories for hours. And then at some point I would go, you know, it'd be like 7, 8 o'clock at night. And I go, all right, I got to go. I got to head to the Comedy Store. And I'd be working on material. And then when I'd walk out to the car, Ed would go, "Hey, let me come with you. I want to watch some comedy." And I'd go, I'm going to an open mic. I'm not showing up at an open mic with Eddie Van Halen. It's too disruptive to do that. Like just, So, I did get this amazing experience. I got these amazing stories out of it from a guy who did not let many people into his world. And with all those experiences of, you know, having George Carlin as a mentor, being at the World Series when Bill Murray showed up behind me when the Cubs won, to living with Ed, living with Mitch Hedberg,
you have led an amazingly just unbelievable life.
Strange things that just like timing that happened that were really crazy. So really grateful for him and grateful that you guys let me come on to share the story.
Thank you so much. You made my day. I mean, this is just so interesting. Like my heart has been hurting over this loss and you just cheered me up. I mean, you're a great storyteller yourself.
Right on.
Craig, you pay tribute to him by doing this. I mean, it really is awesome.
No, that's very, and we really thank you for taking the time. Craig, in all the years we've had you in the studio, I never knew the Eddie Van Halen part of your life until I heard you talking about it.
It didn't fit the format, so I never brought it up. If I go to when I go to your station, it's like, all right, pause. I embarrass myself in front of Justin Bieber. I had these crazy moments.
No, but I meant behind the scenes when we talk between the breaks. I thought that would have come up at some point, but it didn't. Yeah. That's kind of anyway. It's kind of crazy. So Craig Gass, for those that listen to the Rule and Ryan show, we haven't had you on in a while. Usually you're here at the joke joint or somewhere. What are you doing in quarantine, dude? How has this been for you?
I've just been laying low. I just got back from New York. There was a bunch of Central Park outdoor shows that I did that were really weird. I've been doing a lot of outdoor shows whenever I do perform. And then I had one show that did not cancel on me over the last 6 months. And it happened to be in Florida. And I was like,
oh no.
But it was a good paycheck. And I called them to say, hey, if you guys want to, I'm flexible if you want to move it. And they're like, no, we're ready to rock. And I was like, are you crazy?
What was
like
the date of that show in Florida?
July 20th. It was the last week of July.
Inside, like a regular comedy show packed to the
indoors. So you're going to a place where they think it's a hoax.
Did you wear a mask the whole time you performed or no?
You know, what's funny is it was Ryan hit it right on the head. The crowd that showed up was not my crowd. Mm-hmm. They had a, no one's going to tell us what to do kind of energy to them. And when the first night I walked up with a mask and a big thing of sanitize, and I sprayed the microphone and wiped it down, which got a big laugh, but I really was
spraying the microphone. Hell
yeah, why not? I mean,
and then I started feeling self-conscious about people laughing in my direction. So the second night I brought up a fan and when people started laughing, I started spraying the COVID back in their direction. Like just kind of like,
I'm spraying the COVID back at you.
Yeah. I was like, hilarious. Yeah. It was like, just to spray it back at him. And I feel bad, but I have to jump out. I have an interview that I was supposed to do 22 minutes ago.
So. Oh, shit. All right. We'll let you go. Thanks, okay, Craig.
Yes. How can people find you? Tell people how to find you, Craig, or where you're going, what you're doing. Follow you, social media.
At Craig Gass Comedy with two S's. At Craig Gass Comedy and okay. two S's. And I'll see you guys soon. Hopefully I'll be back in Houston.
Yes.
In the next, sometime in 2021. So.
Well, we give you a virtual distance hug, Craig.
Craig, you're the best, man.
I love you guys. Thank you so much. I'll see you guys soon.
Love you too. Take care. Craig. Bye.
See you.
Bye. That was great. All right, Raw Feeders, Craig Gass. That was great to have Craig Gass on.
I love that guy. He is just so good. He's so down to earth. He's got so many fascinating stories. So.
I mean, yeah, I guess I didn't realize how many tentacles he's got where it's stretched into so many different celebrity worlds. But yeah, I guess when you're a traveling comedian, you do meet a lot of people. So I hope you guys enjoyed that, Raw Feed. God rest your soul, Eddie Van Halen, for all the music you brought to the world and all the stories.
I feel like I know him better. I feel like I know him better now. I mean, like, I couldn't imagine. His stories are so great. But Rula, I mean, like, this is like, you know, like, they're right up there with like Kiss with me, you know, as far as growing up and being such a formative force in my, you know, me falling in love with music and listening to those records. It was soul crushing to hear about this. And Craig just cheered me up hearing those stories, man. They always say that, you know, what is that cliche? You die twice, once when you physically die and once when people stop talking about you. So, you know,
say like memory eternal. That's why you do all that. You remember the ones that have left us so that you can keep them alive in the hearts and the eyes of other people. And that guy that he met at the gas station, imagine if that had worked out and they did like his voice, like that would be the story we know. Like this guy's famous because like, who was the guy, Ryan, that was a reality show on CBS? It was to be the lead singer in Excess, JD something.
Oh, JD Fortune. Yeah.
J.D. Fortune won that rock star show and became their lead singer.
Yeah, and they did an album together. It was fantastic, but apparently he could not cope with it. And he was apparently just like out of control and the band had to
drugs
fire
and stuff?
Him. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, it's a pretty amazing that he even had the chance to even have that happen to him. The guy at the gas station is like, I live three blocks from here.
Oh, anyway, that is great.
Oh, man, that's really amazing. I'm going to look up more stuff about Eddie Van Halen with his own. Thanks for listening, Raw Feeders. Happy Monday. And we'll check in with you with another Raw Feed next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye.